This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When all else fails.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The UK government is taking control of the largest mortgage lender in Britain. Northern Rock was one of the big casualties of the credit crunch. For a while, it looked as though Northern Rock would be taken over by private enterprise. Well, those negotiations broke down over the weekend, and now Northern Rock will temporarily be nationalized. Across Europe this morning, the major stock markets have edged higher. Many of the Asian markets were down overnight, banking and insurance stocks leading the way lower. No trading in the U.S. as we observe President's Day. The parent company of the New York Stock Exchange is expanding its presence in South Asia. NYSE Euronext is buying 5% of India's number one commodities exchange. Jill Barshay reports.
The multi-commodity exchange, or MCX as it's called, is just 5 years old, but it's already the largest commodity exchange in India. Metals, oil, and agricultural products are traded there.
Oh, like spices, cardamom, red chili, turmeric.
That's Adam Sussman of the consulting firm Tab Group. He says Indian laws cap foreigners to a 5% stake. Otherwise, the NYSE would have bought the whole samosa.
Because it signals that New York sees greater opportunity in South Asia than they do domestically.
Sussman says the NYSE wants to give its members and the companies that list on its exchange access to rich Indian investors.
If we get to a point where they want to raise capital there, we have a strategic partner to grow there.
This small Indian stake is part of a big trend of exchanges going multinational. Sussman expects more global acquisitions this year. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
We've got presidential primaries tomorrow in Wisconsin and Hawaii. None of the top candidates are running publicly financed primary campaigns. With public financing, a limited amount of fundraising is matched by taxpayer money. Now, in return, there are strict fundraising limits. Ever since Watergate, major candidates have accepted public financing in the general election. Well, this year could be different, as John Dimsdale reports.
Campaign finance reformer John McCain last week opted out of public finance limits for the primaries. Steve Weissman at the Campaign Finance Institute says the switch reflects the reversal of McCain's financial prospects.
McCain wanted to consider the option when he couldn't raise enough money, but the primary victories have enabled him now to raise so much money that he says, why should I accept these spending limits?
A year ago, Senators McCain and Barack Obama signed a pledge to accept the public financing limit of $85 million in the general election if their opponent does the same. Now, Obama has backtracked, saying only that he'll work with McCain to lay out ground rules if they're the nominees. Trevor Potter, legal counsel to the McCain campaign, says Obama's change reflects a reversal of his financial prospects.
He's discovered he can raise a great deal of money and might be able to raise much more than the $85 million he could spend in the system.
So far, Senator Hillary Clinton has not committed to public financing limits in the general election. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Today, President Bush is in Tanzania. He'll sign an aid package worth nearly $700 million. It's part of an agreement with the Millennium Challenge Corporation, or MCC. This money will be used to build roads, bring electricity to people, and provide safe drinking water. Let's bring in correspondent Gretchen Wilson. Gretchen, what's the background on the president's aid to Africa?
The MCC was started by Bush in 2004 to help qualifying countries. And the idea is that to qualify, countries have to meet a certain threshold of democratic policies, free market reforms, and a basic capacity for good governance.
So is it different then than what we see with traditional aid packages?
Exactly. Traditionally, been two approaches to aid in Africa. One is paternalistic, in which African countries are seen as charity cases, and the other is exploitative, in which countries are coming to Africa to buy up the resources of these countries. And so the White House says it's rejecting both approaches and instead is treating Africa's leaders as equal partners, setting clear goals and measurable results.
So, Gretchen, what types of conditions have been placed on this aid by the administration?
The administration has placed a number of conditions on this kind of aid. Again, it goes back to free market reforms, opening up economies for small businesses and entrepreneurs, opening up borders for trade. It also looks at other things like immunization rates. It looks at girls' education, and it looks at other ways in which democracy and freedom are supported in these countries. However, there's also another condition that is not really talked about, although some people on the ground here tend to criticize, and that has to do with the United States' war on terror. There is a lot of speculation that if a country, for example, doesn't really support the United States' foreign policy, will it be ostracized from this kind of aid?
Is aid coming from other countries in the world other than the U.S., and are other countries trying to buy a little bit of influence with this aid?
A number of other countries are really seeking inroads in Africa. And there's a lot of skepticism about all of these external players. China is, of course, a major player. It's been giving big grants, loans, and developing these infrastructure projects. A lot of the comment about Bush's visit here is seen as Bush trying to counterbalance some of the very visible influence that China is wielding on the continent.
Gretchen Wilson reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, here's a musical way of celebrating President's Day. A new CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song. It's a collection of songs from the Civil War era, many of which were personal favorites of our 16th president. As we wrap up, here is Battle Cry of Freedom. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.